Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Horror Film Lovers Podcast. I am Sarah Atkins, and I got my co-host Jonathan A. Moody, and we also have a special guest, Sean. Say hello.
Hi.
Hey, what's up, Sean?
We are
Hey,
going to be
how's it going?
reviewing a film that I picked out called May. And we are all three going to try to review this film without, stepping all over each other and stuff, but we will see what happens.
Well, I first wanted to say that I thought it was hilarious that you wanted to do May and record May and March, and it's coming out in April.
Right. I was trying to get it as close to May as possible because, the title, a little funny that way. But May is a movie that came out in 2002, and it's a movie I rented once when I was in high school, and I enjoyed it then, and I actually haven't seen it since then, but I remembered really liking it. So I watched it again for this podcast and had to relive all of that. And I didn't really even know that Anna Faris was, in this movie. It had some people in it that I just didn't know back then.
Yeah, I probably watched May before I ever watched Scary Movie, so I wouldn't even know who she was the first time I watched it.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, I don't I saw May, like I was telling Sean before the show, I saw May in 2020 when I was doing the 31 Days of Indie Horror, and it was on Tubi, so I was like, I'm gonna watch this because I heard so many great things about it. And then the next year I actually met, the two guys, the guy and girl who are making out in the, elevator.
Lucky McKee is the guy. I don't know who the girl was.
Girl is Tracy Burr. And okay. I actually got to meet her at, I got to work with her on a movie. So it was pretty cool. I sent her a message today saying, we're going to be talking about May today.
I actually didn't realize till today that that was Lucky McKee, because at the time I didn't know what the director looked like. Mm-hmm. So I'm watching it today. I'm like, oh, that's Lucky. I didn't even know he put himself in it.
He was Lucky.
So the guy in the elevator is a director or the director?
The director.
The director of the movie? Awesome.
Yeah.
So he kind of stuck himself right in there.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, he gave him a make out scene.
Well, because it was his first movie, I guarantee you, he's thinking, I might never make another one. I might as well do this.
Yeah, I think before this, it was just a short of All Cheerleaders Must Die, I think is all he did before that.
I don't think he directed that, though, did he? Like, I think Chris...
I thought that's his first credit.
He might have. Did he direct it? Hold on, I gotta look that up. You might be right. because I know of it, and I think I have it.
There was a short, and then there was the full-length feature that came out years after, but the short was his very first credit that I think he has on IMDb, right before May.
You are correct. The short is... it's not a short. It's an hour and 20 minutes. That is not a short.
Okay, well, it was shorter than the actual movie that came out later, I think.
Still. Right, yeah. There you go. But it wasn't a short. It was a feature, because I remember buying it. I have it on the DVD. It's I've not watched it.
I have every Lucky McKee film that's been released, actually. But a funny thing is, 3 years after this, he starred in a movie called Roman, and Angela Bettis directed it. So they kind of did a role reversal.
Yep. So, Sarah, so why did you pick this movie? What was the movie like?
I mean, obviously, for my last pick, The Loved Ones, I am a sucker for crazy girls, channeling my inner crazy girl, all the things I wish I could do in real life, right? So this is another one of those movies where it's a crazy girl who falls in love and he doesn't really want her, so she kills him. I mean, it seems to be my thing, right?
Well, hold on, wait, all the stuff you want to do, but you can't?
Legality reasons, yes.
I know, but there's usually people who think, like, I can't do this, but I want to do this. And then there's, like, a short jump to, I'm going to do it anyway. So let's just hope that just doesn't happen with you.
It's a thin line. I don't have much to lose anymore, Jonathan. We will see. But, yes, I will not incriminate myself. But don't break my heart anytime soon.
Get those OnlyFans money coming in.
Right. So this is just one of those movies that I remember seeing, in my 20s. I know it came out in 2002 when I was a freshman in high school, and I think I watched it once then, I do want to say I may have watched it one other time, and that was probably around 2007. I think a roommate had it, and I was like, oh, I remember this, and I watched it. But I really haven't seen it since then. So I honestly forgot a lot about the movie. Like, I remembered her sewing somebody up. So this is a movie basically where this girl has a lazy eye, and she looks really kind of creepy to, you know, she keeps trying to make friends, but nobody wants to be her friend. She gets picked on, she gets bullied. She has a crush, she has a love interest, but you know, she doesn't know how he's going to respond to her face and stuff like that. Like, she's been stalking him and spying on him for a while, but she ends up getting corrective contact lenses to fix her eyes. So she gets the confidence to kind of go after him, but she's really creepy about it at first, cause she's on super stalker level, and you know, he falls asleep and she like tries to get his hand on her face.
Let's not talk about that real. Can I talk about that real quick? I really wanted to bring that up, and I don't want to forget about it. That was the weirdest scene I've ever seen in a movie. And especially since, like, she does not say a word at all. Right. Like, you know,
I think he could have pulled it off just by going, oh, I saw you fell asleep over your textbook, and I was just checking to make sure you were okay, instead of, I didn't put my face in your hand, you know?
I mean, most of her scenes, she didn't really say anything, even when they bumped into each other on the street.
Yeah. Right, which I think years and years of just being by herself and not really having anybody to talk to but a doll who doesn't talk back to you, you know, kind of does that to you, where you don't really speak a whole
lot. Actually, it does talk back to her. We just can't hear it. Because, like, if you watch it, you watch her, she's the whole time, she's yelling at him to shut up. And I'm like,
True. You're right. So we just can't hear it. We can't hear it. But
That might have been the glass talking more so than her. I think if I had something in my room that was making that noise, I wouldn't even keep it. They would be gone.
Right.
That would bug me so much.
Like, I mean, she had a hard time, and she was bullied for, you know, her deformity in a way, but her mother gave her this doll to keep her as her best friend, and the doll was so special it was kept in a glass case, and she wasn't allowed to actually touch the doll, and she carried this doll with her to her entire adulthood, and that's the doll we are talking about. And it became her best friend. She talked to it all the time. It would give her love advice. Apparently it told her how to make out wrong, because she got in big trouble for that one, you know. But
bit him hard, you know.
So, but she, you know, she works at a vet, where she works with Anna Faris. So she's the creepy, weird girl who works at the vet and works on animals all day, and you know, like surgeries with this horrible surgeon who I want to say was in one of the Borat films.
That's what he sounded like.
Yeah, well, it looked like him. I think he was in the first Borat movie, but I could be thinking of somebody else. But it reminded me of him, and yeah, she just has a hard time because she wants to be in love. She wants to fall in love. She sees this hot mechanic and she goes after it, you know, now that, you know, her eyes are all fixed. But she gets love advice from her doll. And you know, like the guy says he likes weird, but then she's too weird. So he's like, you know what? I don't think I like you anymore.
Not that weird. I quoted that. Sean liked my post, but I quoted that from it, like where she said, you know, he says, you're weird. And she was like, you like weird. It's like, not that weird.
Considering the movie that he put together, you wouldn't think he should be judging weird.
It was a little misleading on his part, because he knew that she had some issues, and he showed her his movie that he made in college, which happened to be a very sexual, like, zombie film of just making out and blood. So, of course, when they make out, which is probably her first time, she bites him and makes him bleed and plays in the blood a little. He found that creepy, but, you know, she thought he would find it hot, like miscommunication for sure.
Well, also, the guy who directed that, was it the what I think it was called, like Jack and Jill or whatever, the short that Jack he did. That was actually Chris Civitson, who was one of the, like, he like produced stuff with Lucky. They also co-directed the All Cheerleaders Must Die movie. And everything.
And it was a fun little short.
It was cute. I mean, it was cute if you're like into really like gory, like disgusting shit. And that was the interesting thing. By the way, that guy was in Borat. Just so you know.
I knew it.
Yeah, he called it.
Well, I mean, and then, you know, he ended up breaking up with her over it, which, you know, broke her heart, of course, so she went to other crazy stalker mode. But then Anna Faris's character decided to go full lesbian and it's like, hey, you know what, I want to fuck around with you. And then of course she thinks that she meant something to her, and she goes over to her house to see her and finds out she's got another girlfriend and breaks her heart all over again. So she just goes mad with all this rejection and ends up killing everybody and sewing them together. And I won't really mention the cat right now because as we mentioned in our other episodes, I'm not one for unnecessary animal deaths.
I am glad
that the animal death in this one wasn't graphic, but I will
and it
say
wasn't it wasn't like play, you know, it wasn't like she did it on purpose, like this was
it was overused and overshown though.
right I'm sure we will get into more about it later. I will just say that I'm glad they didn't show it or there wasn't a big sound, and I know she didn't do it on purpose, but they did overshow a little bit, and I know they needed that for the kind of the story, but at the same time it was a little heartbreaking just because I'm an animal lover, especially cats. You know, I don't know if Obi would, you would have had to cover Obi's eyes during that scene, you know. I know
Obi thinks he's a dog, it's fine.
He would be like, I would have gotten that bitch.
I would have so, killed that cat.
So that is basically my synopsis in a nutshell. So now if you guys want to dissect this movie,
I just want to say real quick that we talked briefly about the cast, but this cast is like the 90s/2000 like pure like fucking fantastic cast right here. Right. You got Angela Bettis, who I always love her. You mentioned before Roman, Sean. She was also in Scar, which I really like.
Yeah, and the Toolbox. I have Scar 3D.
Yep, and then Toolbox Murders and a bunch of other stuff.
I honestly don't think I've ever really seen her in anything.
Interrupted, though. You just watched that the other night.
Right, and she is in that, isn't she?
Yes, she is. Okay. Small role, I think, but she's in it.
Okay, and now that you've reminded me of that when I was watching it again for the millionth time, because I used to watch it all the time in high school, and there was a girl in the background who did look like her, just kind of biting her nails nervously.
Well, I think she's the anorexic one in it, the one that they keep saying is anorexic, I believe.
Exactly. Okay, well, I recognize her now, so now I've seen at least two things she's in.
Yep.
Okay.
And one of my favorite actors who I've grown up loving ever since I saw him in a little teeny tiny movie called Clueless, is Jeremy Sisto, who plays Adam, the main love interest.
He looks familiar, so, and I did used to
he was
watch
in Wrong Clueless. Turn. I know he was in Wrong Turn.
He was in Wrong Turn.
He reminds me of John Travolta. He has that look to him a little bit.
He does, sort of, yeah. I never thought about that. He was in Wrong Turn, May, Clueless, and Waitress, which is sad because the director of Waitress, the female director, passed away, or died. Well, she got killed. So that's just terrible. But I grew up like watching his stuff, and he's done a lot of indie films, you know, more so. He was in 6 Feet Under. He's been in a lot of big stuff too, but he does a lot of indie movies. And every time I see like indie movies, like where there's on Indie Film Cafe, I don't think we've done one Jeremy Sisto movie so far, but there will be more, you know, because he's just in so many, you know, like there has to be others. Then Anna Faris, as we've talked about, and and we all love her. And I don't know, she just says something and it just makes me laugh. And I can't ever take her seriously, you know.
In this one, she had the best pickup line, saying, maybe we can hang out and eat some melons.
Right,
that would work on me if she said it, I think. So.
Right, she just has that character and that voice where we will always see her saying something just kind of dumb and dirty and flirty, and I will always hear her with the scary movie stuff, you know. But she's just one of those actresses that it just makes you laugh. And I watched her at home too. Like, I mean, I enjoy her.
My former roommate and I were talking on the phone yesterday. And I said I was busy, and she was like, I'm busy. And it was a line from Just Friends. And I knew it. I knew it right then and there. I was like, you know, Just Friends. Because like we love that movie to death, but that's like one of the best lines in the movie is with Ryan Reynolds saying, I'm busy, right? He yells, I'm busy. And so she yells back, I'm busy. And delivery is just amazing.
I also really
she did
like
a movie called She did a movie called Smile. I don't know if you ever heard of that one. Mm-mm. But she eats a whole plate of pot brownies and then has to go about her day like normal. And it's just hijinks after hijinks.
Yeah, sounds like it. I mean,
that sounds perfect for her. It really does.
Yeah. Sounds like
funny too. The house bunny was pretty funny.
And then there's indie darling James Duvall, who I love.
I recognize him, but I don't know from what.
He was in Donnie Darko playing Frank the Bunny Rabbit. Okay. He was also in The Doom Generation. He's been in a lot of movies. I mean, the dude's like been busy since forever. I've actually met him. He's a really nice guy. You know,
and which guy was in the movie?
He was the punk guy in the movie.
That's who I thought you were talking about.
The Mohawk guy.
The really bad, like trying to do Liberty Spikes, but they just didn't hold up.
I guess. Oh, I know.
I know him from Roman. He was the goth guy in Roman. That's why I know him. He did more Lucky McKee stuff.
Probably. And like I said,
he tried to make friends with a girl on a park bench and go over to her house to eat juju bees. So like he should have known what situation he was going to get into. Like, you don't go home with
he needed bees. To ice up his nipples.
I know.
That was so hot. He had to take his shirt off. And then why would you go ice up your nipples? I mean, maybe you would have found a frozen cat in the freezer if you didn't, you know, try to go ice up your nipples.
But there. I'm glad he did, because like,
I made them best friends, according to her.
right. That made them best friends. But like what it set her off to be able to learn that she could kill other people, because at that time she had just unfortunately accidentally killed the cat. You know, that was not right. It was not on purpose. So this time it was going to be on purpose. And now she she's learned how to become a serial killer.
That was her mental break, though, because like the guy she liked hurt her feelings, the girl from work hurt her feelings, she accidentally killed the cat, you know, and like she's having these incidents working with the blind kids, you know, and stuff like
that's such a cringe scene with the blind kids.
Oh, it really is. She meets a stranger and he immediately just starts ragging on her and calling her names and stuff, and like really she could have been a little quick on her feet and just been like, oh no, like he died this morning, I don't know what, I want to take him somewhere, so I just put him in there for now. Like, she probably could have played it off, but she hasn't been very good at
or even talking, period. She doesn't ever know what to say.
Instead she snapped, she grabbed them scissors and chop.
Yeah, so that he was great. I love him. He's always funny and everything. If you guys haven't seen Donnie Darko, I really suggest seeing that movie. It's really fucking good.
It's been a long time. I've seen it once, but it was a long time ago, so I do need to rewatch it.
Yeah, it's a good movie. We just did it for Film Freaks, and that'll be coming out in March. So, Nicole Hiltz played in Brogia. I don't know her, but she was great in this movie.
Yeah, I actually really liked her scenes. Like, okay, so she was a bitch, but I like the visual parts of the scene, because the whole point was May wanted her legs. So I really liked how the camera angles made sure that every time she was in a shot, whether it was the background or she was walking up, they really focused on her legs and just showing, you know, the part that May really wanted.
Which is funny, because she made Polly, which is Anna Faris's character, cover up the legs, you know, when she was at the Adder house, because she was already at that point, she was feeling rejected and she felt like this girl was cheating, you know, and she was seeing the other lover.
Oh, yeah.
You know, which was sort of sad, but like
she didn't want to see them perfect legs anymore. And then she's like, you know what? I want them.
Yep. She was like, nice gams or whatever. Yeah. Like, I was like, what the fuck is that? Like, that's weird. This whole movie is weird. You know,
it is, and it's kind of a slow burn in a sense, but it's a good movie. Like, it has a good script, has a good story.
I wouldn't call it a slow burn at all, though. I would say that, you know, because I've seen some movies that are slow burns, and this is not.
Oh, I know. I've seen some extremely slow, painful ones, but I'm just saying, like, in the sense of how long it took to get to her chopping people up, it kind of was one of those things where it's at the very end, and then she makes her monster, and then it's over.
Yeah.
It's one of those ones where you don't really know what it's going to be about if you didn't read about it. Like, what's this going to become? And then it's like, oh, okay, she's going to make a Frankenstein, sort of.
Right.
And then the only other actor who's sort of note is Will Estes, who I know of him. I don't know where I know him from, but he was the friend who was in he was in The Dark Knight. He was an officer in there, and he was in Blue Bloods. So I guess U571. So he's been in some stuff. But he was the guy in the movie that was like the friend of Adam's that was like, oh, when are you going to go see that crazy chick again?
Gotcha. The guy doing the sit-ups.
Oh. Yeah.
And I don't know who played the girl that Adam was dating next, but she looked really familiar. But she did.
Which one was she?
Don't remember her name, but it was the girl Adam was dating, and then on Halloween she was there and she let May come into the house and was joking around with all of them, and he basically called her dumb.
She got dead. The only other girl that I'm thinking of that might be is Nora Zettiner, and she was in The Right Stuff for Disney. Marin, she was in that Brick movie that you were talking about earlier. So
she was Marin, though, like, yeah. Marin from comedian Marin.
Yeah, the TV
that's
show.
That's probably where I recognize her from, because I used to watch that TV show.
She
Marin
played
is
a character named Jen. I don't know if you know that show. Okay. So
yeah, it was a good show. If you haven't watched Marin, Marin's a hilarious comedian.
There was one more actor in it that I was familiar with. He only had a small role in the flashback scene of the parents, and that was Kevin Gage. He played the father of May.
Oh, cool.
And I know him from Laid to Rest. And there was a movie called Chaos I was telling Sarah about a couple days ago. That's like a more extreme version of The Last House on the Left. And he played the really crazy guy in that. So once again, I didn't realize it was him until I watched it today. And I'm like, oh, I know him because I've seen his other stuff. And then went back to this. Right. Oh, there he is.
And you were bringing up how there was a cool little Easter egg in one of those movies too, where there was a cosplay of May carrying the cooler around in one of those movies.
Yeah, explain that, Sean. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, well, the May film editor, Ryan Johnson, directed a film in 2005 called Brick, starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt. And for the Halloween scene, he had a character go by dressed like May in pretty much her final form with that dark burgundy dress and pulling the body cooler behind her. So there's no way that is a coincidence. That has to be a little hidden Easter egg for May, because who would dress like that as a random costume?
Right.
And I for sure believe that was definitely a May.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
So, yeah. So I believe too, 100% after seeing it, you showed it to me. But it's not like that editor, Ryan Johnston's ever gone and done anything other than maybe that Brick movie, you know. It's not like he's done a little Star Wars movie the murder mystery movie that I watched. I got to see it in the theaters or the drive-in theaters for the first time. You know what I'm talking about? The it's got a sequel right coming up. But yeah,
Knives Out. Knives Out.
Yeah.
Knives Out. Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, I
haven't seen that one yet, but I heard it was really good.
I mean, I tried watching it and I was bored and I didn't really pay too much attention to it, but
it's a specific style of movie. So if you're not really into that style, you're not going to like it. I thought it was okay. I laughed, you know. I was more happy that I was at a drive-in for the first time in my life. You know, like that was it. You know, like it could have been like the shittiest movie of all time and I wouldn't have cared, because it was more the experience of doing it. I would have been like, let's hope the next movie is better when we watch, you know, another one someday. But like, it was fun, you know.
Right. I haven't even been to the movie theaters since I saw The Lodge. I saw The Lodge in theaters, and I honestly
did not like that one.
I did not either. And to sit through it in the theaters the entire time, by the time it was over, I was like, oh boy, like it just drug out so bad, and it just didn't make a lot of sense.
The twist wasn't worth it at all. In the ending, you're like, okay.
And you know, I'm not a huge fan of paranormal stuff to begin with, but a friend wanted to take me to see it, so I went and saw it, and I was just like, this is why I don't really like paranormal, because the twist sometimes is great, or the twist is just horrible, because you're like, okay, who's dead? Who's the ghost? Who's dead? Who's the ghost? We don't know.
There was no ghost.
Right? There wasn't any the whole time.
Yeah. But
well, and that's usually the worst, if there's no ghost, because then what's the point?
Right. Now, I bet you if I were to watch it again, already being disappointed and knowing what's going to happen, I might be able to enjoy it more because I don't have any standards for it. And that does happen. So yeah. I'm not saying
I usually like horror movies that are like winter, like in snowstorms. Yeah. I like that kind of environment for a lot of like the horror. Like The Children was a good Christmas one. And I really like that. But that one, I couldn't get into the lodge at all.
No, but I'm not saying like if I gave it another chance, I would feel the same, because you never know. Because now that I know what to expect, I'm not going to be all pissy the entire time watching it. So I might enjoy it a second time, but who knows if I'll even give it that chance.
Yeah, no, I 100%. But, you know, to go back to May, the twist at the end of May, I mean, well, I guess it really wasn't twist, but it was like, it just sort of happens.
Crazy, but yeah, I don't think anybody... unless you read the synopsis and stuff on it, was like, oh, she's going to sew people together. I mean, she kind of went crazy there at the end.
And after you've seen it, there are hints, you know, that this is going to happen. Like, she talks about how she can sew anything up, you know.
Also, considering she's trying to make, like, the most beautiful body she can, couldn't they have found something better for the head? That was one of the ugliest, like, final parts of a doll I think I've ever seen when she was putting together. Yeah, it's like you could have found another person with a nice looking head or something.
I know.
She didn't even really use a head, I don't think. I think she just made
it. Was cloth and a couple little stones with eyes.
Why didn't she just cut the doll? Why didn't she cut somebody's head off?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
I'm not sure why they went with the direction of not using a cutoff head and
because
using
the eyes. Because,
yeah, I think that's what they wanted, but they could have put the porcelain eyes from the doll on top of a real head, you know? They could have done that. And it was kind of cute how they took the ashtray and used the words for May and spell Amy. So she did name her friend. The body's name was Amy, which was weird.
Which I heard was like also French, like the other spelling for Amy, for friend, like AMI, I think. Like this. So there was like a double meaning, plus it's like an acronym for May because the same letters in it and all that. So they kind of did that.
Yeah, but I still think that head could have been a lot better than, you know, a sewn together ball of fabric.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I also never noticed the first time I watched how much you could see the body move, breathing the entire time.
I was saying that too when I was watching it. I was like, I bet you that her arm is where it is to kind of make it look like she's doing it, but he was definitely breathing. And I'm pretty sure the body was played by the punk guy, you know, because, you know, she used his arm with his tattoo. And I'm sorry, those legs were not the gams that we saw earlier. They were definitely male legs. So I'm assuming that it was the actor who played the punk who was playing the body as well, because the body did eventually move around.
Yeah, well, we're supposed to see it moving. I always interpret it as after she poked out her eye, she's dying and she's finally seeing what she wanted to see during her last moments. It's not it's not really revealed that you know for sure, or if she's just kind of seeing it and just happy, but I assume that's just her life. She's getting what she wants in her final moments. That's how I always interpret that.
I wasn't sure if I really picked up on a dying vibe, but I do think that definitely is a death inflicted wound. Like, I think the minute she stabbed herself in the eye, she would have probably died immediately. But, you know, in sense of the movie, she popped her eyeball out.
It starts out with the popping of the eyeball and then goes into like her backstory, then it goes into what she's up to.
Usually
now.
I hate movies that do that, and I forgot this was one that actually does that, kind of starts off with the end scene. I forgot all about that, but I didn't mind it as much in this one. But sometimes I really hate seeing the final scene first, because then you're just waiting for it to happen and you're kind of taking it out because you know this is going to happen at some point.
My thing is, I pushed play and she was screaming with her eye bleeding, and for some reason I was like, wait, I had to pause it. I was like, did I accidentally start this in the middle of the movie? I'm like, no, this is the intro. Okay, this is just how
I had my headphones up loud. It was almost a jump scare for me because I forgot all about it. Like, I just pressed play and boom, there it was.
I kind of did that too. Well, I did that. It happened at the end where I had it up higher later.
Yeah.
And then the scream happened. I'm like, oh, I got to turn this shit down. Cause, you know, you know, like whatever. Especially Tubi, sometimes the volume you need to control a little bit. And that goes into independent films. A lot of independent films, the sound isn't perfect like a Hollywood movie would make it.
You have to have your hand on the dial waiting to go back and forth, because sometimes it's way too loud. Yeah. Other times you can't hear the dialogue,
and then a scream happens. This movie is like that. And I don't think the sound was terrible. It's just like sometimes you did have to like adjust the
Especially movies that are on channels like Tubi where you do have commercials. It's I always have the remote in my hand anyways, because when it goes from movie to commercial, it's always a different volume. So I'm used to having the remote in my hand for that one.
See, I have the DVD and the VHS of this, so I just popped in my DVD. It hasn't come out on Blu-ray.
I'm gonna have to buy me a copy of it. And yeah, you even got Blu-ray of it.
You got the poster on the back.
That's I only own two posters, and I bought that one like I don't even know, probably like 2011. I tracked it down from some site, and it's pretty much the size of the ones that are in the theaters when you're kind of walking along the walls. But I have that, yeah. And I have one for P2, that underground park in a horror film.
That's a good movie too. I don't know if you, have you seen that?
Yes, it is,
Sarah.
No, I haven't.
Oh my god, we'll have to do that maybe next year. But we'll have Sean back and we'll do P2 because it is a fantastic movie. Mm-hmm. It's
I'll have to suggest a bunch of Christmas horror for her, because I don't know how often you watch Christmas horror ones even around Christmas time. Probably you probably never think of it.
Well, yeah, no,
I love Krampus, which is on our list to do this year. Mm-hmm. And then we did watch Better Watch Out.
Better watch out.
I haven't listened to that one yet, but I love that movie. But I'll have to listen to your guys' podcast on that one.
Even though I don't really celebrate Christmas, I do enjoy Christmas horror movies. They're just always so much more fun.
Well, and like Christmas movies in general, whether it be horror or regular, you know, like I just enjoy that.
That Krampus one. Krampus just released the uncut version. I don't know if you've watched the difference yet, but there's a little bit more cursing and a little bit more of the violence. The
difference yet, but I did see it on Amazon, and that's probably going to be one of my next purchases.
Okay, yeah, I liked it. It looked good in 4K. For mine, I have the 4K version.
Lucky.
Well, speaking of lucky, so this director, basically Lucky McKee, directed this film and then kind of blew up because of it. This was the movie that sort of gave people a chance. Like, I mean, as I said, like, I think it went to like film festivals and it did really well on the, I don't think it made a lot of money theatrical wise, but I don't think it made half,
but it became a cult, got a cult status behind it years after.
Exactly. Because people like started reviewing it really well, and then it did really well on DVD and whatnot, and became a very big seller on that. And so it helped Lucky be able to go out and sort of direct other things and continue his career. I mean, he's still doing very well for himself. So
yeah, he was doing a lot of collaboration with author Jack Ketchum before Ketchum passed away a few years ago, and they did a lot of those kind of like really, not necessarily gory, but just kind of like violent horror movies and all that.
There was
a lot of Jack Ketchum's novels.
He did The Lost, I believe.
Yeah.
That's
a crazy one.
I think Chris Sivertsen did that, but that's, you know, Lucky McKee's buddy. Yeah. And
three of them worked together on quite a few things.
By the way, I got to meet Jack Ketchum. You know, once.
Oh, did you? I talked to him a couple times online, but I never got to meet him.
I got to meet him at a horror convention. He was, and it was a horror. It's a Scares I Care. They have a lot of authors there. You know, and okay. Jack was like one of their big authors that they had, and he was just the nicest guy. I kept asking him, you know, what he thought of the movies that, you know, were made of his, and he really liked it. Also, he liked the, I think it was The Girl Next Door is the one he did or whatever. That's porno one, but you know,
There's another version that came out starring Elliot Page, formerly Ellen Page back then, but it was more tame. But the Jack Ketchum one, like, that's a crazy violent version of it. So there's two different versions of the movie based on the exact same true story, because it was a true story.
Nice. So the guy ended up directing a lot of stuff with Jack Ketchum. I mean, he's just a fantastic director. So I would love to see more stuff from him. You know, I'm sure we'll be reviewing more stuff from him.
I like to see more stuff from Angela Bettis. She's very selective with what she does. Like, it's years between projects now. She kind of vanished. Like, she's not on social media, so you can't really follow what she's doing besides looking on IMDb, hoping to see a new credit get added.
Yeah. Which, I mean, that must be amazing. That must be, you know, like, I would love to live that life where you can just do whatever you want to do. And then, you know, whenever, you know, like whenever you felt it was right for you, you know.
I think one of her last projects was a 12-hour shift. That was a pretty fun one. David Arquette was in that, but working at a hospital, kind of a crazy role for her too, where it just it's been a long shift and she just wants to get it done, and there's things going wrong with kidney transplants and everything else. It's kind of crazy.
Oh, it's on Hulu. I'll have to check that out. Is that a horror film?
Yeah, check it out. The horror elements and like thriller, and like it's one of those ones just that could fit into multiple categories, like most of the ones you guys do.
Yeah, because we do like our horror subcategories. I know we've done some horror thrillers, some horror comedies, some horror romances, you know, some sci-fi horror. Like, we've got to love our little subcategories here.
Well, 12-hour shift definitely has a lot of dark humor. Like, it's not laugh out loud. It's just like, well, that's kind of messed up, and kind of a chuckle follows, like that type of humor. So it's pretty fun.
Right.
May had a lot of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
May, I think my favorite quote in May is when the zombie cheerleader, which is obviously another ode to his first film there, dressed the same way, I guess, as the original production, but walks by saying, "Do you have any cool ones in there?" And she just walks by saying, "Yeah, I do." Refer to the bodies instead of the beers.
Yeah. Yeah, she was very honest, but, you know, yeah. With her answers to everybody, but you just didn't really know what she was talking about. You know, a little.
I like how her confidence level as she got insane kind right? of like went perfect. Like, she was awkward, yeah, and then when she's totally batshit crazy, she's the most confident person in the world.
Yeah, no, she really was. It's amazing how that drive will do that to you. I mean,
it was perfect for that role. Like, I can't picture anybody else in that role.
I'm in my craziest moods. I think I have the most confidence to do shit, and that's probably the scariest part.
And that's true. But Sean, you said this was your favorite role of hers, period?
Probably one of my favorite. Now, an unpopular opinion that I do have is there was a 2002 TV remake of Carrie where she played Carrie. And even though the movie wasn't nearly as good as Sissy Spacek way back in the day, I did think that Angela Bettis was perfect for that type of role of Carrie's character, because she just has that, like, just that look to her of, like, the confused girl. And then when she does go batshit crazy, like, you could just tell that she's perfect for that role. I do really like her in that.
She sort of has, she definitely has that batshit crazy roll down. Good for her.
Yeah, and awkward. I like any role that's really awkward where you're watching it and you don't know if you should be like cringing, laughing, smiling, or just like, I don't want to meet this person. Like, she plays those roles so good.
The Loved Ones was sort of that for me. Yeah. When I watched that, I was just like, wait, what the fuck is going on? Should I be like concerned? You know, like,
can you imagine if they teamed up?
Oh God. You know. Well,
then you could throw in Catherine Isabel from American Mary and you'd have a trio of people that would really teach you a lesson.
Right.
Jesus. Yeah. That's insane. So Sarah, you were really into this, huh? Like, this is like your type of movie.
Like I said, I relate a lot to these women and adore them very much.
In the podcast, you can't see it, but I was rolling my eyes when she said that, because now it gets me all worried.
I'm just like, and I really would love to put it into writing someday, because, you know, like, I get all these thoughts in my head and just like this, that would make great, like, crazy woman, like, torture porn movies, because I would just envision all my exes and my ex-husband and shit as the bodies, you know, where I wear their face and shit like that. It'd be awesome. Yeah.
When I met you, were you thinking of ways to fucking kill all of us, you know, when you were just hanging around? Not
everyone, because I love my friends. I'm just talking about the people that hurt me.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense. Okay. Yeah. If you feel rejected.
I just sent her like a huge list of torture porn movies. So you don't want to be on her bad side anytime soon, because she has a lot of stuff to watch.
I do. I'm going to take notes.
You should record some of those for Horror Film Lovers YouTube channel. Right. And get those first, the ones you haven't seen, do a First Time Friday for them.
Oh, yeah. There is a big list of ones I haven't seen. So I'm going to look them up.
Yeah.
Once you can't find, I'm going to get her a copy so that she can see them. I'm sure they're not all freely available. And don't need her spending the money if she doesn't have to spend the money on them.
That's sort of a sad thing right now, is that, like, you're right, some of these movies are not freely available for you know for everybody. So,
but you happen to own them all, so you just burn me a copy, you'll be fine.
Yeah, like, they were all DVDs that I showed her pictures of, so they're in my room. Like, all I could do was make an MP4 and there you go, here, watch this. Yeah.
You guys have enough DVDs to keep me busy probably for the rest of my life. You don't, Jonathan, I know Paul does. So
I'm not very good at, like, I don't know how to rip stuff and everything like that. I don't have the technology for that, you know, to rip and turn in something into an MP4. I can get them to you
too if you need them.
Thanks. I appreciate that, actually.
Now, one thing about this movie that we kind of skipped over, we only mentioned twice, is the blind kids. Does anybody really want to chat about that real quick?
I just wanted to say, like, I just found that scene kind of, I don't know if it was just written weirdly, but when the doll cracks and smashes, the first mm-hmm. thing I'm thinking to myself is, okay, you're blind, you're not deaf, you just heard all that glass go on the ground, and the first thing you say to yourself right. is, let's drop to the floor.
I'm right, like, let's
why?
Drop to the floor.
You literally know it's all glass there.
Like, and now they did say they were looking for the doll, but I'm just saying, like, you're right, these kids are not deaf, they're blind, they should have heard glass, they felt
and then they
glass.
Kept going. Like, they're already cut,
and they heard the glass break, but they kept going, even when they were told, hey, don't, there's glass on the ground. And honestly, all those other adults, though, when they saw her showing the doll to these kids and saw that the kids were kind of being rude, and they were like, hey, I know you said not to play with the doll, but we want it. Like, when they saw them pulling at it and her getting upset, somebody should have came over there before that even happened, but you know, they don't want to have this scene in the movie. But like, I'm sure the other adults kind of knew May was a little special herself, so I highly doubt that one of those adults wouldn't have been close enough to be on that. But you know, but then we wouldn't have
they
that
were
scene.
Very aggressive. I was surprised how aggressive they got, though, when they were trying to take it. And once it smashed, I just figured, oh, it smashed, that would scare them if anything. But
before
no.
you know it, the doll's ripped in pieces and she's just covered in blind kid blood, which is crazy on its own. You know, and then she even, I think, gets it all over herself.
She rubs her eyes. And then, like,
well,
it makes you wonder how her eyes were fine in the next scene, because there was maybe that was blood marks and not actually scrapes, maybe.
Right. And there was a scene shortly after that, though, where she scratched her eyes so bad she fucked up her eyes and fucked up her contact and had ended up going back to being, you know, the weird lazy eye, going back to being May, you know. But that whole thing with the blind kids was a little much. And the only reason she was there in the first place is when she did go on a little smoke date with Adam, is they were at the park and they saw a bunch of kids playing, and she saw that they were kind of, you know, the not so like approachable kids. I don't know how to nicely say this, but you know, they're the outcast. And she related, I think, to that. She was like, what is up with those kids? And when he told her, oh, it's a school for the blind, she's like, I kind of want to work with those kids because I feel relatable to this, you know, as my, it was hard for people to love me because of my eye and everything. And one kid even made her an ashtray. She was kind of a bitch about it, because she was like, what are you making? She's like, an ashtray. She's like, why are you making an ashtray? You're blind. You're a child. You don't smoke. She's like, do you?
Yeah.
Well, then you can have it. I'm like, okay.
That was a weird scene. I'll say the weirdest thing was the girl that she went to talk to.
Yeah, the receptionist. She was a total bitch too. It's like,
I know. I'm like, this person's asking for like a volunteer work, you know?
Right.
Like, not even asking for a job.
I saw kids in the park and I want to volunteer to help them. I noticed they were blind. Okay, well, we have blind kids you can volunteer with. But is it those blind kids? And she's like, does it matter what if they're all blind kids? Are you being specific? She's like, yes, I just specifically want to help these particular blind kids.
Yeah.
So,
well, even before then, she's like, what kind of kids are you looking for? Like, you know, and she goes retard, and she's all these nasty things that I'm sorry for saying that word, because I know that's actually, that's technically a bad word and I shouldn't say
but
it. So, but that was just quoting her.
Point we're proving is she was using foul language to define these children, just kind of being a bitch about it, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I was a little surprised. Oh, wait, go ahead.
I'm just saying that the actress he made is the same one that killed Mr. Kitty.
Yeah.
But another thing I was a little surprised at is the whole part of her like not really having any friends at the beginning. I thought they would have like showed something a little more cruel. All it was is that one kid asking if she was a pirate. When she said no, he kind of he looked at his friends, kind of said, nope, she's not a pirate. Then they walked away. Like, there was no real insulting about it. They kind of just walked away from her.
Right. And I kind of forgot about all that, because they did show her and her mom, you know, when she was a little kid and her eye fucked up and her wearing the eye patch. And the kid was basically like, are you a pirate? No.
Yeah, it was more of a, it was just like a curious thing. Yeah, it was just curious. It really wasn't like picking on her. So I'm like, they really didn't build that.
Teasing on her. Now, I think it did show her getting excluded a little bit, but not
by
really.
By them all walking away, but that's about,
But really, I mean, if anything, I think the mother kind of inadvertently helped her become this recluse, because she introduced her to the doll that just became her best friend. It would have been interesting if, like, something were to happen where the mother tried to get rid of the doll And she was just like, no, like, this is my friend, you know, right?
There was a little bit of a missed opportunity to have the childhood play a little more into it, the mom play a little more into it. And I do think, like, if the mother would have not treated her like she was an outcast or had a disability and treated her like nothing was wrong with her, maybe she would have had the confidence or not felt the way she did. But her mother kept telling her, like, just because you're messed up does, you know, blah blah blah. She just kept reminding her over and over again, you're not like them, you're not like them, you're different. Yeah. When really all she had to do was, you know, kind of build her confidence a little bit. But I know sometimes that can, and also that I just not child size. That was a full blown like adult eye patch that like it just the bottom of it covered like her eye, but it's like it was all the way out in her entire forehead. Like I think they really should have gotten a child size eye patch, and then she wouldn't have looked so weird.
Okay, I do want to mention this before I forget, and it has nothing to do with the eye patch or any of that stuff. But there's that the only scene that really bugged me that just didn't seem real at all, considering this movie obviously wasn't real at all. But the scene where she goes to Adam's house and he has to smoke outside. So he just puts it out. Who the fuck does that? That's ridiculous.
Right. Like, you mean just put their hand outside?
Yeah, just puts the hand outside. A lot of
people do. No. I've dated so many smokers. Yes. If I told my ex he couldn't smoke inside my house, he would stand in the doorway sometimes and just stick his hand out.
But just put his hand out like that? No, he would open the door up more. You know, it wouldn't just be his hand out there, I don't think.
I'm surprised she never tried to grab his hand again.
Right? Yeah. And it also depends, though, because a lot of the times the doors are all the way open because you don't want that smoke blowing into the house.
And he was still trying to keep up the conversation. So if he was out further, he wouldn't be able to hear him as well, probably.
Smokers will crack the door open and put their hand out for the cigarette to get the smoke out of the house, but not let it in the house, because, you know, that's the whole point.
It's just, I don't know. It just felt really weird.
Awkward, but I mean, it's explained sort of just by him talking.
It's a thing that happens, but I do agree that I think he would have noticed her standing right there a little bit more. But, you know, again, it was for the scene of the movie.
And where was he going when he was running outside originally? And then she was there for like 2 hours, apparently, like outside his house.
I don't remember. He was leaving to go somewhere.
She's like, you know, let's go watch a movie and go watch a movie. I was like, wait a minute. Okay. So he said it was 2 o'clock that she had been out and she had been there for 2 hours. So it was 4 o'clock. And I'm like, it did not look like 4 o'clock out there. It looked like much later than that. And then it also really bugged me because then he's like, oh, we'll have a date. And I'm like, who the fuck has a date at 4 o'clock in the afternoon like that? Like, you know, like it just didn't feel, it felt like the timing was weird. Like they should have said.
If she was stalking him to the point where she didn't have the nerve to knock on his door when she first got there and she waited the 2 hours, like, I mean, if you ran into somebody and you're like, oh, let's go on a date. I mean, I guess the time frame doesn't really matter. It's just like, oh, hey, I bumped into you. Let's go hang out. Let's go on a date.
I don't know.
Eventually, when she freaked him out, though, he's like, I'm not going on a date with you ever again. He even went to the laundromat and pretended the machine was broken just not to be in there with her.
Well, I was surprised.
Tested that right away.
She tested that laundry. I would have too. I would have too. I would have gone over there and tested the motherfucker. And when it didn't work, I would have gone over to his house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, see, that's the thing. She was crazy, but like she was weird. You know, she wasn't crazy. I don't think she became crazy.
Yeah,
she lacked the social skills. She had the feelings, but not the way to deal with them.
Right.
It would have been nicer if we saw, like, because she did like blood and she did like gross and weird. Like, there's that scene where they're eating lunch or whatever together.
And she was talking about the dog. That was
talking about the dog.
They like the sandwich. Talking about being a vet and all this stuff. And she's like, yeah, at work, you know, there was this dog and the sutures weren't right and the dog exploded and I had to deal with that. And you just see him like not even be able to eat.
She's eating the sandwich like nothing.
She doesn't care, you know. And then later it's funny because when she made him that macaroni and Gatorade dinner at her house, where he's sitting on the couch at the dinner table and the other side is just a chair because she doesn't really have proper furniture. Like, it shows how antisocial she is because she's not used to having company. So that whole setup was just really weird and awkward. But he goes to take a bite of his macaroni. She's like, oh, I got to tell you what happened at work. And he immediately puts it down and listens. He knows better. He says, I'm not going to eat while you tell me work stories ever again, May.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was great. I just, every time he was on, I was just like, this guy, like, I feel so sorry for this guy, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like, he just became the fixation of this girl, you know, right. But he wasn't, well, he was just a nice guy. Like, I mean, he was nice.
Like, he met her, he thought she was a little weird and a little cute, and he got interested in her. But, you know, he should have realized, though, when she was telling him all this stuff about herself, that, you know, she probably didn't really have a whole lot of experience in any of this, and it was all new to her, and you know, she probably was really love starved and got obsessed so crazy because she's never had anybody who, you know, before, because they didn't really show any of her history, you know. So she really just wanted his hands, like, on her face, like, in a reflection. Like, she loved his hands.
I posted something today on Instagram where I said, I can't tell if I attract crazy or I make them crazy. And I also believe this in the film, you know, like, I think May did both. She, right. She attracted crazy because the guy's a little nuts, you know, in a way, right. In like a normal way. You know, normal crazy.
I was trying to make out what a lot of the stuff in his room was. I was expecting it to be like real cool, like horror stuff, but I'm looking around, I'm like, okay, there's a lot of weird stuff in here, but I don't know what half of this is that he's saying. Oh, do you like this stuff? Does it scare you? I'm like, what is this stuff?
Yeah. Like, and then they were playing with a retractable knife, and she really got into stabbing with that one. She didn't even flinch when he pretended to stab her. Like, she didn't know it was fake.
She was into that.
Oh yeah, she was really into
that. She would have. She, if it were real, she still would have probably been into it. And
yeah. Oh yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah, she was such a.
She was scalpels all day. She was poking herself in the finger with a scalpel, and okay, that's when she cut Anna Faris's finger, and she had that weird little orgasm. That's.
I was going to say, are you going to bring up the pronunciation of that? Because that's one of my favorite little things. The way that Anna Faris was always calling it.
Scoople or whatever. Because that's what the guy kept calling it. The foreign doctor.
She just assumed that's what it was called.
She was like, what's a scoople? And she's like, you mean scalpel? And go, oh, that totally makes sense. And I'm like, good God, Anna Faris's character is really that dumb.
That's kind of like her typecast, though, too.
Yeah.
But it makes her character a little lovable, even though she's kind of bitchy, you know?
She's not bitchy at all, I didn't think.
She was a little bitchy in the sense of where she knew that May had these kind of emotions and wasn't all there, and she still ended up sleeping with her after a breakup, and then kind of playing with her heart, and then getting involved with somebody else and not really caring about her feelings a whole lot. Like, that was kind of bitching.
I think
you couldn't pass it up. It's like, if you have a woman, you don't need to, you can pass it up because you just said you're going to be with her, so what are you doing with her?
She could have made it a little more clear with May what her intentions were, instead of just horn dogging out on her, because she did kind of just horn dog out on May and then just like go down on her without really even asking, you know, and just kind of rocked her world, hopefully. But, you know, hopefully it was worth it.
Which was sort of the thing where she was more like a male, you know, character than a female character. And so I don't know, maybe that was, her name was Polly. So unless they just
that little strip tease too, at the vet, she got up on the table trying to cheer up. Not really strip tease, but you know, she got on the table doing a table dance.
She wanted to dance. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, she was into her.
She said the best line in the movie, I think, is the, do you like pussy? And then she's like, what?
Pussycats.
He's like, pussycats. Yeah. You know,
it's like, you're set. Your sentence didn't get interrupted. There was no cats going to be following that. No, you just switched that up when she...
she was just waiting for her to do that. Like,
she was. Yeah. It was an excuse, though, for her to give... to try to get May to take her cat, though, because her landlord said she's going to keep it. And she did have this beautiful, like, Russian blue-ish long-haired cat, and she ended up giving it to May. And it was May's, like, friend, and May loved it, and... unfortunately, when she got mad, she threw an ashtray and it hit poor kitty and killed it. And you know, like I said, I'm not a huge fan of animal deaths in movies. Like, I know it served its point. It, you know, like, she needed to show her going through that mental breakdown of accidentally killing her friend. I just wish that they didn't show it so much. Like, the bathtub scene, when she was on the phone.
And then in the freezer, it's like, why couldn't you have just like buried it in a backyard like most people would do? Why is it now here and now it's here?
Why was it in the freezer? Why was it?
Even if it was in the freezer for the purpose of that scene with the guy, they didn't have to focus in so much on it. They could have done a quick, oh, it's the cat, and not zoomed in so much. But I get
she's like spraying it with Febreze for like a long time because it's starting to smell places. Like, how many times do you need to go back on this cat?
Yeah, and I get that it has a lot to do with the story, and I get that it has its purpose and that it's gore and all that. And I'm not squeamish at all. And I know it's a fake cat, but it's still one of those things that's a little uncomfortable, you know, when you have so many cats and watching the movie with you.
Yeah, I think it said props or it was either props or taxidermy. I think it says at the end of the movie that no animals were harmed. So I don't know which out of the two it was, but.
Right. And I kept saying, I was like, this movie was made about 20 years ago. So that cat lived a nice long life acting in movies until the day he died of natural causes.
Well, there you go. You found out about that? You found out more about
that? Yeah, I'm saying that to make myself feel better.
Oh, okay. I thought you might have learned
some more. Think it's been 20 years since the movie was made. The cat's obviously an actor. I'm sure he lived a nice long life making more movies, Jonathan.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he did. Because that wasn't really the cat.
Just like Air Bud and the Homeward Bound cast, they all had their turns at lots of different roles.
Let's just not talk about Milo and Otis, please.
I didn't watch that one. Once you see Homeward Bound, you don't want to see anything else like it, in my opinion. You're not going to top Homeward Bound.
No, Homeward Bound's still the best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, unless they got lost in San Francisco or something. Wasn't that like one of the...
I didn't hate it. It's not as good, but I didn't hate it still.
Yeah, the sequel wasn't the greatest, but you know, it was still okay.
I just remember I was a kid. I remember I was a kid when the first Homeward Bound came out, and I was so excited to watch it. And then I got a little older, and they made the sequel, and I was like, I'm too old for the sequel. So I never watched it. So I might have to, I think it's probably on Disney Plus somewhere, you know, or whatever.
Well, I mean, it couldn't have been that many years after when the sequel came out. Like, you didn't age that much, I wouldn't think.
Oh, well, trust me. Once I got into middle school, anything I did in elementary school was kiddie shit.
I do think it was a decent amount of time because the sequel came out when Disney had those plastic bubble VHS holders, and the first one came out when it was still cardboard.
Okay. So it was 96, and I was going into high school then. So yes,
you weren't in the mood for
no. I was 12.
Yes, exactly. So I was not the age. I was not age appropriate necessarily. Yeah.
Okay, well, I think I was like, that's when I got my diabetes. So I was like around 8 or 9, I think.
Yeah, because there's only a few years age difference between us, I think.
Yeah, because I was born 87, so.
Yeah, 84. I think I was
49.
I was 13, 14-ish, you know, or whatever. Okay.
I still have Home Alone or Homeward Bound too. I could watch it today and I have no issue with it.
I think I still have the first VHS, like somewhere around here, along with my Fievel Goes West and my Mighty Mouse.
Oh, anything that's Don Bluth. I could do a podcast just on Don Bluth's animation.
You should do a podcast on that. That's actually a good idea because there's not that many, I don't think.
There's a Secret of Nim. There's Rockadoodle. There's tons of Don Bluth films.
Oh, I'm saying there's not many podcasts.
Oh, on Don Bluth.
On Don Bluth, specifically. Yeah.
I'd love to meet him. It would be awesome.
Well, is he still alive? I don't know if he's still alive.
Yes, he is.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
We'll have to try to find some like horror like Disney movies, like The Secret of Nim or something like
Secret
that.
Secret of Nim. All Dogs Go to Heaven has that hell sequence.
Right. We'll have to pick some like horror-ish child movies that scarred us for life, which honestly there's so many. That's why honestly as a kid I hated horror movies, because anything scared me. Secret of Nim, that owl freaked me the fuck out.
Yeah,
but again, I know we're getting off topic, so May.
Yeah. Wait, what we're talking about?
We
May?
Can talk about horror Disney movies during our wild card episode or something. Like, so for this we are getting towards the end of our time. So what else about this movie do we need to bring up before we call it quits and sew a body together?
I don't know, actually, because I think we did cover almost every like scene pretty specific, you know, or whatever. I mean, the stuff in the vet office was pretty cool, though. Like, I did enjoy See, this is the one thing I really did like about this movie is it gave you a character that actually has a job, you know, that has a life, that has something like that going. Because I've been watching all these movies where I'm like, what the fuck? How does that person have all that money, you know? Right, like that person. Right. That person can't afford to live. I watched this movie recently, and the actor was a writer, and I'm like, there's no way he can afford an apartment and not have a regular job. You know,
I know these struggles. That's not realistic.
I know. So like, it just drives me nuts because I'm like, there's no way. Like, explain that, please. Like, did he get hit by a car and now he's got all this extra money that he can just, you know, blow around or whatever?
Right. It's just a little tidbit that explains, you know, how they provide
something. And this movie had a whole fucking job, and you got to see her job, and you got to see that she was really good as the vet assistant. You know, she understood the guy from Borat. She understood him completely, even when he just says scoople. I mean, he was. I mean, I kind of, in a way, it's weird. I don't usually feel this way, but I was kind of hoping to see more of the veterinary job, you know.
Right. And he was a pretty botched doctor, too, though, because even when they were working on that cat, which didn't even look like a cat, like the
dog. Yeah, I was just going to mention that. Like, how do they have that dog foot look so realistic and then have the most plastic looking belly that's supposed to represent the inside of a cat? Right.
And it looked almost like human. You know, and then you saw that there was kind of a cat sticking out. He's like, oh, good, we say kitty. You know, it's like.
It looked like a doll action figure, like how shiny it was and everything. Like, even if you shave that, it's not going to be glistening like that, I don't think. And like, the foot looked so real. The foot looked like ginger snaps when you see like that foot.
Something about the movie we didn't really tip it on is there was this guy who came in freaking out going, I went on vacation when I came back. My dog had three legs. When I left, he had four, but now he has three and I don't know what happened. He's just freaking out. And Polly's like, why don't you take care of this, May? You're crazy. You talk crazy, right? And eventually they found the leg out in the bushes and he's like, can you sew it on? She's like, yeah, I could sew it back on. So that kind of was the full development of her character too.
At first I thought they were insinuating that they screwed up on an operation they were supposed to be doing and removed a leg accidentally. I didn't realize that they meant it just went missing somewhere, like outside of the vet place.
It was literally like, I guess it was in the backyard or something. You found it in the fucking backyard. I'm like, Jesus.
Didn't really explain any of that. He's just like, my dog is missing a leg. I found it in the backyard.
I thought Polly screwed up and like did the wrong operation or something. Right. Like at first, no, I'm like, what did she do?
I knew she didn't because did you see the look on her face when he was explaining this? Like it was almost like boredom. You know, she was just like kind of going, okay.
You're
sure.
Crazy. Here, I know somebody that speaks crazy, May.
I don't think she's employee of the month ever there.
No.
Just likes hiring, you know, like young women who don't give a fuck if he fucks up on the surgery.
Right. Well, there was when she did say the scoople line for the first time and she was like, what's a scoople? She was talking to a guy, I guess, right? Somebody, I think it was a guy, right? That was like, you know, across from her or whatever. And then you know, she was like, scoople, what's a scoople, you know, May? And she's like, a scoople.
And something, Miss Kitty, she also like mispronounced Miss Kitty to sound like some other foreign type thing. And they had to correct her on like both things.
Yeah. So Anna Faris's character wasn't the brightest to be working at that that place, but it didn't. I guess it doesn't matter anymore because she ain't alive.
Yeah, her pretty little neck got used in that doll.
Yeah, I kind of wish I saw more of like really like what happened after May. You know, like maybe. I mean, I hate saying this because sometimes movies just deserve just one movie and that's it. And a lot of people don't want a sequel, but if any movie's going to get a sequel, it would be kind of cool to see like 20 years later. And
well, unless she did die in that last scene, as we said, we don't know what the blood loss and the shock of everything would have been.
Even if she didn't die, she would have been arrested soon after because, I mean, the places that she went to murder these people, she left an absolutely bloody mess. And it was her coworker and the guy she dated. you know, so it's like, it was very obvious, you know, that she was at these places, and I'm sure her fingerprints were at them and stuff. So she would have gotten pinned pretty easily. Could you imagine the crime scene investigator and all these scenes looking at all this, all these bodies, missing parts and stuff like that, and then finding her house like that? That's got to be one for the books.
That,
yeah, I don't think it really showed too much of a cleanup process. I don't really know how much she did any, like,
I don't think she did.
That would be the best beginning of a horror film. Like, you know,
whatever she could fit in the cooler she took with her, everything else is probably still laying in the floor.
I believe it.
I could see it now. Like, it says, you know, when was this made? 2002. It goes to 2002, and then all of a sudden the cops are at the house and they're looking around, they see all the bloody mess. You know, like, where is this girl? And they find her, and, you know, or maybe she had gone, she had left, she had, you know, disappeared, you know, start a whole new life. And she actually was okay. You know, she still looks
now, she
really
could be a
up.
Pirate because she has, she's missing an eye. So now the patch actually makes sense. She's a pirate now.
Yeah, she's Pirate May.
Right. She could drive the carpool lane now. Oh, wait, she can't drive. Never mind.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it'd be funny because she could use the body, but she can't drive.
No, she can't drive.
Either can I. It's fine.
Well, this is awesome. I had a fun time with this one. Like, it was I'd seen it a couple years ago, or well, a year and a half ago. And I was like, oh, this is actually a pretty, you know, I've heard good things about it. You know, it's just like Ginger Snaps, you know. Yeah. It's one of those movies where you hear a lot of people talk really well about it, you know, really good and love it. But then if you haven't seen it, you just haven't seen it, you know.
Ginger Snaps, I think, shows up as the number one recommended when you scroll down on IMDb. Mm-hmm. It's like the first, and all 12 things on the recommended thing, I have all 12 of them in my collection. I'm like, what's the odds of every one of them say is similar?
See, I've never seen Ginger Snaps, so that is one that I know I need to watch. Yeah.
No, you gotta check it out. It's really good.
I'm not a huge horror buff, so the amount of movies I've actually seen is not that high, especially if it's an older movie. I've seen some of the newer stuff. It's just I'm still getting, you know, my wings on some of these horror films. You know, y'all are still introducing me to them.
That one's definitely worth checking out, though. Ginger Snaps. I like the first two. The prequel I wasn't big on, but I like the first two of them.
Actually, it's funny because we are, and I guess I can announce this now, but like on Monday, one of my friends, Anna, who's been doing. It's not Anna Faris. She and I, I think Anna Zayden, she and I are doing, Ginger Snaps 3 for 31 Days of Indie Horror. We're doing with a friend of mine named Jordan, and we're doing that. We're going to be reviewing that movie.
Okay.
But that's not going to be out till like October. So fun times ahead, you know, like, okay. You know, but yeah,
some people liked it. I wasn't too
I've heard different things, and I have not seen it. So I'm excited because, you know, she was the one who kept saying we should do Ginger Snaps. We've done one and two so far from 2020, 2021. Now we're doing the third one. And Jordan didn't even know there was a third one. So we are
the beginning, it's called
The Beginning. Which, you know, it makes no sense from what I've understood, because like it's the same actors playing basically.
I think they're playing their ancestors or something. Yeah.
Yeah. It makes no sense. It's stupid, but you know, whatever. It's like an excuse to bring them back. You have to bring them back, you know.
Well, we'll keep
Catherine Isabel is always an excuse to watch Catherine Isabel, in my opinion.
Yep. Exactly.
We'll have to keep an eye out, Jonathan, for that podcast and watch you on it. And I guess I'll have to watch some of the Ginger Snap movies. Well, definitely. For this one, though, I think we are about at a wrap and ready to plug everything else and say our goodbyes, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, Sean, tell us like more about, like, you know, you've got a lot of podcasts that you're into, right?
Yeah, I'm not on any of them, but I do. That's what gets me through my night shifts and my shift work. That's all. I don't listen to songs. I listen to podcasts.
There you go. Much,
so, what are some of your favorites that you want to share with us?
Well, I just got two here. One's called Monster Candy Podcast.
I know you're wearing the shirt for that one, which are my colors.
Yeah. Which actually, Shotzi Blackheart, who you know from wrestling, the one with the green hair, Mm-hmm. You've seen her probably at the Royal Rumble, but that she was one of the founders of it. She's on it every now and then, but when you're in WWE, okay. you don't have a lot of time to film it. But yeah, Shotzi Blackheart, Screamin' E of the Memphis Murder Men, and Dominic Davi and Oubliette Sparks from Tsunami Bomb, they host that one. And that can be found pretty much anywhere where podcasts are. It's on all of them. Mm-hmm. And then there's another one I listen to called Kim and Ket Stay Alive. And that's with Kim Burns and Ketron Porter. They're best friends. And every week they choose a different horror movie and tell it in its entirety, spoilers and all, ask questions to the other person and see if they pick the same decisions to keep them alive or if they would have ended up dying by the end of it. So one person
that's
watches.
Actually really cool.
Yeah. It's like a 2.5 hour podcast because they literally take notes of the entire film. Like they'll go to the theater and they'll be writing it down and everything. But and then the other one blindly listens to it. And that's how they hear the entire movie. And then they'll watch it at a different time. But yeah, one watches, one explains. And then they add questions and see how
they do.
So
they
do
the new movies?
I listened to that one.
They do the new ones?
Yeah, they just did the new Scream one. They did the new Candyman one a couple weeks ago. The foreign film Tigers Are Not Afraid is what they just did this week. It drops every Thursday, I believe. It's either Wednesday or Thursday. But I haven't listened to that one yet because I own the movie, but I haven't watched it. So I'm probably going to actually watch that one tomorrow so I can listen to that one when I get back to work on Monday. But
that's cool. So do you like listen to these or do you watch them? Make sure you watch the movies before you listen to the podcast.
It all depends if it's going to be a movie that I know I really want to watch. Like if it's a movie that I heard was just like for example, The Lodge, they did The Lodge. So I'm like, yeah. I wasn't that big into it, but I still want to hear their take on it. And right. It's fun hearing people explain an entire film, especially if you did see it, cause you're getting all the references. But if not, it's just like listening to a campfire story. Right.
True.
So it's fun that way. But, yeah, they can be found on their official website. It's kimandketstayalive.com or they're on all the Pod FM and all those different podcast sites.
Awesome. And you listen to ours, so thank you. We appreciate that. You know,
I lose track of which one's which, but I listen to anything that it looks like you're behind.
it's funny you're saying that, too. I'm like, you're like, I don't even remember which one I'm on tonight. You know,
yeah,
I'm like,
I couldn't remember.
Yeah,
first one, and I know you have like six or so.
Oh, I got more than that.
Yeah, you got quite a few projects going on.
Well, I mean, I would love to just be like, oh, you know, give this project to somebody else or something, you know, this podcast to somebody else, and then I don't have to do anything. And then I'm like, I want to do it though. Like,
right? You enjoy doing it.
I know. I enjoy being on the, you know, talking about these movies. So even though I don't have a lot of time, I'll, you know, or whatever. And maybe
I'm just glad I got in on this one because I tried to get in for The Loved Ones, but you were filming it too soon. I'm like, dang, yeah. I really would have liked to have been part of that one.
That would have been great.
Maybe my next Crazy Girl movie. We'll let you know ahead of time.
Yeah, I know a couple of the ones for this year. I don't remember the lineup, but there was still a couple that you might not have had guests for yet, so we'll see how that goes.
Okay, yeah, definitely.
We got some killer ones coming up the rest of this year. Jonathan, did you want to plug any of your other podcasts real quick?
Well, I just want to say we got the YouTube, and we talked about it. We're promoting it, so we're shooting, as I said, we're recording this in March, but this is going to come out in April. So by April, we're already hoping to hopefully have 100 subscribers by then, so that we can do a giveaway. If we don't have 100 subscribers by then, please go and subscribe. If we do have over 100 subscribers by the time this podcast comes out, please still subscribe, because each big thing, so like 100, 250, 500, we are going to be giving away DVDs and stuff, you know, movies for people. But what we're going to have to do is do, like, you know, we'll put all 100 people or how many into a, you know, into a hat and we'll pull out
randomly select
somebody out of there each time. So,
If you're not subscribed to the Horror Film Lovers YouTube channel, please go and subscribe, because once we reach 100 subscribers, we can go ahead and do that giveaway.
So we'll have the link down in the comments, you know, in the little section, the about section here. So you guys can go check that out. But if you just look up Horror Film Lovers on, you know, on YouTube, you can find it. It's pretty easy. Right. We also have an Instagram page, a Facebook page. We don't have a Twitter page because Twitter's a bitch. I'm not going to lie.
But if you do want to follow me on Instagram, Instagram or on Twitter. You got me on SubuSide_watch, and you also have me on Twitter under Vixen Virginia with an underscore in the middle.
Suicide is spelled differently too, right?
Suicide, because it's Subu, so it's going to be the S-U-W-U, you know,
U-W-U. For Ubu. Okay. Subu, Suicide. All right. If you want to check me out, Jonathan A. Moody Film on Instagram. I have a couple Facebook pages because I've got 5,000 friends, so it's, yeah, you know,
they took my Facebook down, so if you're looking for me on Facebook, it is not there anymore. I was too sexy for Facebook, and apparently, they said no. So
I don't post enough on my Instagram. I have one, but that's just to talk to other people. I mainly use Twitter. Right. That's just Sean Freeman 27.
I don't post a whole lot on my Instagram, but now that I am faceless or Facebookless, I may post a little more on my Twitter and my Instagram. Or you could still find me on my OnlyFans. It's Virginia Church. You know, I'm around.
So Sean, I think Sean and I bonded because of Degrassi. So I bet all the Degrassi people you follow on Instagram, because they're all on that.
Did you say Degrassi?
Yeah.
Degrassi, the Next Generation.
Degrassi.
Yeah.
Did you watch just the Next Gen, or you watched older
ones? I didn't watch the older ones, only the Next Gen. Okay. That is where we first learned who Drake is before Mr. Popular.
I met Spinner.
Dobery from Vampire Diaries was also on Degrassi. And then the reboot of 90210, I think there was a girl in that.
Yeah. Who was also on Degrassi. I think it was I know exactly what you're talking about. So
right, yes. And I want to say, like, maybe her name in Degrassi was Darcy or something like that.
Yeah, Darcy.
Yeah, Darcy. It was Darcy.
Yep.
See, it's been forever since I've watched it, but I am a sucker for.
I know it starts with an S. That's all I can say.
My background is actually me and Spinner. I don't know if it's gonna. No, it didn't show up enough.
We'll see. Like, I like high school stuff, so like, I like Vampire Diaries, which, you know, she's from Degrassi, and the new 90210 one. Yep. She's in Degrassi. Like, I like Degrassi, and I like the new Euphoria show. Like, if it's like a high school drama and stuff like that.
Beverly Hills 90210, the original Beverly Hills. What I was gonna say is, like, I've actually interviewed back in the day, and I may try to put this out again for, you know, podcast, for an old throwback or whatever, but I interviewed Cassie Steele, who played Manny.
You told Degrassi. Me about that quite some time ago.
And I absolutely adore her, and it was funny because she was living with Miriam McDonald, who was Emma. So it was really funny. So I would interview her, and she would say, hey, Miriam, you know, she'd ask, like, hey, what was your favorite episode? And you could hear Miriam's talk in the background. And I was like, oh my God, you got two Degrassi people, you know, for one, you know, that's awesome. Yeah. Anyway, that was just.
Well, that's really cool that's how you guys ended up bonding and stuff like that, you know, and then Sean was a fan of Horror Film Lovers, and that's how he found me, and we became friends. So we all got united.
Yeah. I found you because I seen that you guys did something on The Loved Ones. So I'm like, oh, she likes The Loved Ones. So I click on your page and then found OnlyFans through that.
She really likes The Loved Ones. Oh, God.
You might like it a little too much. I don't know.
Hey, I don't have a poster of that in my room.
Yeah. Not yet.
Not yet.
I know. Anyway, thank you guys, this is awesome, this is a great show. I can't wait for people to see it. It's funny that we've done it like basically a month early, but better early than, you know, late, you know, basically,
right?
So thank you, Sean. Awesome having you on, and we can't wait to have you back on.
Well, yeah, I'm sure it will happen. I just got to see what movies are there and what days are filmable, because we all work different schedules. Mm-hmm. Mine switches every week.
Yeah, so we're very happy that you chose this time, and we're able to get it done.
I booked vacation for this.
Oh,
right.
Oh, there you go.
No,
we're
on his work vacation.
I should be at work right now, but I took a couple days off just so I could do this.
Nice. Well, we really appreciate that.
I mean, I expect somebody to have a big May poster to dedicate, you know, time off for this podcast.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, if you're not dedicated to May, you know.
Hey, it's my birthday month. What can I say?
See?
This month or
May 27th.
Oh, nice. Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much. And thank you, Sarah. This has been awesome.
Yeah.
I guess anybody have any last words?
No, I think no, we have fun. Summed it up.
All right. Well, hope you guys enjoyed this episode. See you
thank you, everybody.
Next month. Bye.
Bye. Bye.